number two. Welcome back, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller with you here until just before 1 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, well, before the bottom of the hour, we'll give you an opportunity to win $1,000 bonus bucks. That comes your way at about 12:25 or thereabouts. 12:30, David Kaplan from Chicago. Catch up with the Cap Man. Recap what he saw last night. Look ahead to the Bulls in action tonight. Of course, the Bears will be on the clock first 1 week from tonight. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News, his latest mock draft was just posted within the last half hour at sportingnews.com, and Vinny finds a few minutes for us. Vinny, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Vinny Iyer, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
I appreciate you coming on. Vinny, before we get to the NFL, I know you're a Northwestern grad. I want to start with where they're going to play football for the next couple of years until the stadium is redone. Where exactly is that, Vinny? Have you seen any of the renderings as to how they're going to pull this off and play Big Ten football? Where are they going to play?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. They're going to try to play where the lacrosse field is near the lake, so it'll be a good setting. But
right.
The question is, for certain games, how do they get enough people to get situated and get the seats? And there's going to be a lot of work to be done to get this done. So I think they wanted to avoid a situation where they're relying on Soldier Field or Wrigley or any other park that would be available to them nearby. I mean, it's kind of trying to keep it also on the campus. I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing they're trying to do here.
Sure.
As they've had a lot of momentum with their sports. I mean, basketball had a big year. We had lacrosse win another championship, but recently they had field hockey do it. So I think they want to make sure a lot of things are staying local and make that Evanston thing more prevalent than trying to push it down to Chicago. It's kind of weird to see just the press box left at Ryan Field.
Really?
After so many years of that's where I've gone to games and walked in as a student for 4 years. I mean, it's just very strange to see that. Just the pictures of just a void there where the stadium was. So, look, they have really earned the right to put up a better stadium here, but it's going to be difficult here. Next few years, they got to navigate that. Recently, they had the basketball team battle that as well with the things that had happened, and they had to play in, I think, on DePaul's campus and the Allstate Arena and all that kind of thing. So they managed that. So I think overall, like, it won't be too bad, but that's why they wanted to keep things on campus.
Vinny, let's get into the draft, and we move over from Northwestern. We will not see a Wildcat taken here early on in the draft. Does the draft start at 3? I mean, is it locked in Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and the Commanders keeping that pick, or is there still some intrigue at number 2?
Yeah, the 2, I think it's starting to feel more and more like Jaden Daniels, and just with maybe the telltale sign was hiring Cliff Kingsbury, because that was tied into Kyler Murray, the running style quarterback, spread it out, throw downfield, and really use those receivers that they have, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. So I think they're in better shape to draft a quarterback like that than the Patriots are. They simply are. They've got a little bit more infrastructure that can help the quarterback. I mean, they even added 2 veterans that can help, Austin Eckler and Zach Ertz in the short area. So the Patriots, how you look at it, it's tough. I mean, they still have to work on their offensive line. They need to find a left tackle. Commanders also need to do some improvements up front. But you look at Patriots, don't have the established receiving core, don't have necessarily the versatility of the weapons. So I think for Daniels and his personal development, I think he would want to end up in Washington as well. So maybe finally we'll see Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels solve these 2 long-standing quarterback problems in Chicago and Washington.
Vinny, you have J.J. McCarthy still on the board at 11 where the Vikings draft, which would make them ecstatic that they wouldn't have had to give up the 23 that they acquired, and they actually would hold 2 picks in the draft. The likelihood that there is no movement with both the Broncos and the Raiders sitting behind them, it certainly could happen. You're not alone in your theory that the draft falls to the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy, they do not have to move up to get him. What's behind your thought process, Vinny?
And I did do one with trades if people are looking for that kind of stuff in the mock drafts. And I did see the Vikings moving up in that scenario to make sure they got their quarterback of choice, whether it's Drake May, McCarthy, or Jaden Daniels. And you having that power when you have the two first-round picks, that's the speculation since they made that deal to take that pick from the Texans. So I think there's a potential for it to go either way. I think it just needs to play out in a certain way. If the three quarterbacks go as expected there early and you don't have any trades, then it's going to be very interesting. Do teams jump in front of the Cardinals or something to try to get Marvin Harrison? Is it just goes to four and then the Chargers with multiple needs will be the next entry point for a quarterback that you want to make sure you stay ahead of these other teams? So I think the Vikings, again, I'm going to keep giving them McCarthy based on where they're at, but it may require them to move up to get him. And I'm not between, again, what they're willing to give up is that Daniels may McCarthy, as you keep going up, you have to give up a little bit more. So McCarthy might be the sweet spot where they don't have to maybe ransom away everything to really get where they want to be, but still slide up the board using those two first-round picks.
I want to get your thoughts on Cooper DeJean. We've seen a wide variety of thoughts about him. Is he a safety? Is he a cornerback? Is he a slot guy? Whatever he's going to be at the level. Your thoughts on him as a prospect, and what's the high water mark that you could see him selected in the draft next Thursday?
Yeah, I think the spot that I'm looking at a lot for him, and they've actually made no secret about how much they love this guy, is the Seahawks. And it makes a lot of sense for this reason. You look at the style of defense that Mike McDonald played with the Ravens, very consistent three safety looks that they had, and a big part of that success was Geno Stone. Mm-hmm. And getting a player that was a bit nickelback, bit safety, can move around the field. They had a really good group in that secondary last year, but it was led by Kyle Hamilton and what they could do in the middle of the field. So Cooper DeJean has that kind of ability to cover the outside with the athleticism to get in the middle, make a lot of plays on the ball. So I think that's why it's lining up so well. And really, these teams sort of give you a blueprint. You just have to follow where those coaches and those schemes are going. And I think you could look a few picks later in the Rams. I think the Packers are hoping Keith Falls. I don't know if that's going to happen either. So the Seahawks, I think, are a very good spot for him at 16. Now, after the first few picks, I think that's one of the most rumored combinations that we can get. So in the middle of the draft, it's hard to find those, but the Seahawks with DeJean is something we're going to look for. So I think he could go anywhere, I think, from, I'd say, that spot to, I'd say even like 24, somewhere in that range. So I think that's about, I guess you would call that the third quarter of the first round. I think that's where you'll see it go.
You have Bo Nix coming off the board before Michael Penix. Injuries played a role in that in your decision there, Vinny, for Penix?
I think I do like Bo Nix a little bit better just overall. I think he does a few things right, especially the accuracy in the short to intermediate area and also not having the injury issue. I think Michael Penix has that dynamic kind of ceiling type because he has kind of untapped his athleticism. They didn't actually ask him to run a lot in Washington, but he can be mobile. We know how accurate of a deep ball. I think he's a better deep ball thrower than Bo Nix. But I think if you're looking for that systemic type, get rid of the ball, get rhythm in the West Coast offense type of thing, I think Bo Nix is there. And part of it is also the Broncos. I think he fits better with the Broncos. And you have to also think about the Raiders. If they're going to go after someone, I think you say Michael Penix would fit a little bit better. So I think that's how I kind of look at it as well. I think Broncos with Nix and Raiders with Penix kind of seem like the fits. And if it's not Penix going to the Raiders there in that first round, I think you'd think about him in the second round if you're them. Because I think they're not quite as desperate. I think the Broncos are definitely desperate. So I think the Raiders have a little bit of flexibility to wait and hopefully land Penix for their sake.
On the regional front, the Packers sit at number 25, just such a well-run organization. You have them going tackle in your mock draft with J.C. Latham, the big tackle out of Alabama there. Is that, you think, what they're looking at? And any potential for the Packers to make any movement come draft night?
I think they'll keep an eye on the corners, not just Jean, but anybody that would fall there. I think it's a little bit too early to go after Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota for safety, but that would be a position the Packers would have to consider here. Edge rusher is always going to come into play if Jared Verse would fall there a lot too, if he keeps slipping out of UCLA because he's got that inside-outside versatility that they like. So there are many ways. I think the Packers, you talk about the draft beginning, potentially two or three, depending on what those teams do at quarterback, then what the Chargers do with their multiple needs at wide receiver, offensive line, and tight end. But I think in later in the draft, the Packers are the biggest wild card. It was a hard team to figure out, and it still might be. So in some teams, you just know when you're doing the mock draft that you're probably not going to get this right, but you want to explore all the options that they have. And it's good. If a team has got a lot of options and they're hard to predict, that's actually a good thing for them. That means they're thinking about all the right things and making it hard for you to figure out who they're locking into.
Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News is our guest, part of the Locked On Network as well, Locked On Fantasy. We'll get to that in just a second. Vinny, I want to ask you about TJ Tampa, who you have going 39th overall, so early second round. But in the first round, you have Detroit, who wants to go corner at 29. You've got San Francisco taking Wiggins from Clemson as well. So if is there a chance that if Tampa is going to go, might it be the Lions? Might it be the Niners? Most mocks have him early second round. There's very few that have him in the first round, but there are a couple. What's the likelihood Iowa State has back-to-back first-round picks, Will McDonald last year and then TJ Tampa this year?
Yeah, it's just a matter of how teams perceive the corners, and I think they could go in many orders. I mean, Jean has been the wild card, but then you have Quinyon Mitchell seems to be out of Toledo, or Kenyon Mitchell, who seems to be the guy that's separated a little bit because of his speed. Nate Wiggins is pretty fast as well, so you can consider him. Then you have, I think, a tough call. I mean, you have Ennis Rakestraw, who I like, but I think is more of a second-round pick at this point. Kool-Aid McKinstry is going to also have an impact here. Terry Arnold, the other Alabama corner, are also going to be in the mix. I think there's a wide range of outcomes because there's so many teams. I look at the Colts, the Jaguars, the Steelers to some degree. There's so many teams that need a corner on top of Detroit and San Francisco. And the funniest thing that would happen to me, and this is not just a pun or anything here, but if TJ Tampa went to Tampa, I think that should be a good fit in the first round.
Perfect fit. Perfect fit for him.
And you get a pretty good price on the betting markets, and TJ Tampa being a first-round pick, 8-1 right now at DraftKings, if you believe he's going to go on in the first round. Hey, speaking of another part of your job, Vinny, you do the Locked On Fantasy Football. Outside of Marvin Harrison, Adunze, Neighbors, guys like that, a little bit deeper down the draft. I know fit is going to be a big part of that, and before the draft, it's hard to kind of zero in, but is there a prospect or two, maybe a second or third rounder, that you think with the right fit can be a really intriguing fantasy player right away in the rookie season?
Yeah, we had a lot of those that definitely emerged last year. I mean, Sam Laporta, mm-hmm. You know what he did, and Tank Dell before he got hurt, he was well on his way. Just so many rookies are having such a great impact on fantasy football like they've never had, and across positions, and even at wide receiver and tight end where they typically didn't have impact. It was usually just the running backs and very handful of quarterbacks. But I think you started with Jaden Daniels. I think he's just got that kind of floor you're looking for, the so-called cheat code that we like to talk about in fantasy football with the running ability. I think Anthony Richardson was well on his way to being a fantasy asset last year as a first-round pick. I mean, Daniels could do that, but it really depends on how these wide receiver landing spots play out because it's pretty tight. If you look right now, and I did just a show today, and it'll be up later on the Dynasty rankings, these guys are pretty tight. I mean, Ladd McConkey, Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman. I mean, there's some landing spots. I'll give you an example of the Steelers, right? That's a team that has a clear void away from George Pickens because they traded Deontay Johnson. So you land with the Steelers. I know it's maybe not as a high-volume passing game anymore with Arthur Smith, but still there's a void. Or you go to the Panthers and say Franklin, where I have him mocked right now, goes to the Panthers. They need a true number one. I don't think Johnson is quite that in terms of being able to stretch the field and be that type of number one. He's a good technical route runner. Adam Thielen's getting a little bit older, so you kind of have an opening for a number two, especially as they open up that offense a little bit downfield with Dave Canales. So landing spots are everything. I mean, I say this, talent is the number one thing. And then just like real estate, location is the other thing for the rookies. You got to have the opportunity to play right away to have that impact. But longer term, I think it's a very bright class that has a nice future ahead.
Yeah, Jalen McMillan maybe if he ends up with the Chargers where you have him in the third round. That would be a fit, the kid from Washington.
I love Leggett from South Carolina.
There's another one. Yeah, he's a good player. Vinny, we're out of time. Vinny, thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it. Sporting News, part of the Locked On Network, Locked On Fantasy, and we will talk to you down the road. Vinny Iyer, thank you.
Yep, thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News. We do a little mocking.
Keon Coleman, he has him going 51 to the Steelers. Keon Coleman's a stud.
I'm with you, Trent. I think he's gone by then as well. But
this wide receiver class is asinine.
Deep. Who starts in Pittsburgh week one? I think it's Fields. I think he's going to beat out Russell Wilson. I hate Russell Wilson, so maybe I'm my business.
Yeah, you're a little jaded over there.
True. You know what? I'll let you do the Russell Wilson projecting.
But it's would I be shocked by it, though?
I wouldn't.
No. He's not your future.
No, he's not. He's finished.
And if he's a knucklehead or a prima donna, uh-huh, whatever it is.
And he checks all those boxes.
I don't see Mike Tomlin really putting up with that.
Yeah, I don't either. That's a great point.
He's a very no-nonsense kind of guy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a shock.
He ruled the roost there in Denver.
Yeah, I mentioned I found that number on Tampa. 8-1?
8-1 to sneak into the first.
Does that get you intrigued at all?
I'm only making one bet, and it was the Cowboys to make to take a quarterback first over with their first pick.
What'd you get that price at?
60-1.
60-1.
Was it 40 or 60? It was one. It was a huge price. I think it was 60-1. When you had Paul Allen on, he had some intel.
He did.
And then Sinekin came over on later and shot it down. Don't listen to a word PA says.
I love that.
Yeah.
Here's another one on the local front. Mentioned Tampa at that price. Cooper DeJean, draft position.
Over under what?
22.5.
It sure sounds like the under to me.
You can get plus money, plus 110 mm-hmm. at DraftKings on that one. So a couple on the local front.
What about the quarterbacks? Is there how many quarterbacks in the first round?
There is draft position.
Is it 4.5?
Position totals. Here we go. Cornerbacks, defense alignment. No. Let's get to quarterbacks. 4.5 is the number. The over, heavily juiced, minus 180. The under, plus 140.
Which way are you leaning?
Well, if the Broncos take your boy, Bo Nix.
That sounds like they're going to. But I think they're going to
move
back.
You are
going to
be so.
So I want Penix.
Yeah.
I want Michael Penix as a Bronco fan.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if he's older. No. I think he's better than Bo Nix. Anyways, we have Cappy standing by. He will join us from Chicago next. But before we get to that, let's give you an opportunity to win some bonus bucks. Bank at KXNO.com. Go to KXNO.com, enter the keyword bank. You may win $1,000 in this nationwide contest. Cappy next, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Centurion Stone of Iowa, they make it possible for our next guest to join us each and every week. He's David Kaplan, ESPN 1000, his YouTube channel. Oh, the recap last night was in fuego. let's get to him, David Kaplan. Cap, you didn't hold back. It was, as we know that you won't, after the Cubs and their bullpen blew another one. But it was more than that, right? I thought it was Council making a huge mistake trying to run Hendricks out there in the fifth inning. I get why he did it. He wanted to get him a win, hopefully, get him feeling a little bit good about himself. But that backfired. Then the bullpen, and that's more of a Hoyer thing. Dansby Swanson, apparently this guy's won gold gloves in his past. Sure doesn't look like it the way he's playing right now. Woo! Cap, you're on fire, my friend. How are you?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I hope people listening will subscribe. It's free. The recap on YouTube, R-E-K-A-P. Just look that up and you're ready to rock and roll. But, like this morning, what I compared Kyle Hendricks to, and I love Kyle Hendricks. He gave me the greatest thrill of my life at Wrigley when he beat Clayton Kershaw to clinch the pennant in 16. Mm-hmm. He gave me the greatest sports moment of my life when he beat the Cleveland Indians in Game 7 to win. He didn't get the win, but you know my point. He was great. And we won the World Series. I thank him for all that. But I compared him to my late dog, Yoshi, who died last August. Yoshi would have been 16 in December. He gave us amazing memories. My dude slept next to me, and we have three dogs. But that he and I vibed, man. There was just something about it. And the day that he had to be put down, he had to be put down. I was doing him no favors and having to carry him up to bed and the whole thing. And my point is, that's where Kyle is right now, unfortunately. Now, can you put him on the injured list and say, yeah, he's got forearm tightness, and see if forearm tightness can be worked out with Tommy Hotovy and figure out maybe it's a mechanical thing, maybe he needs a little time. I don't know. But it's looking like he's just not that dude anymore.
That bullpen's not any dudes right now. It is atrocious. Alzolay already with three blown saves. It is rough at this moment in time. What can be done? You can't just go out there and get eight new guys for the bullpen. So what needs to be done on the back end?
Well, you know, there were people still here in town. I was arguing with Tommy Waddle and with Jonathan Hood today. They're like, you should have signed Jordan Montgomery. You know, it's amazing to me. People treat Jordan Montgomery like he's freaking Max Scherzer. I mean, there's a reason that he was a Yankee. Go back and look, like 2.5 years ago, they needed pitching. Garrett Cole went down. Did they sign him? No. Did they bring him back at any point? No. How about the Cardinals? They needed pitching like a starving man needs a sandwich. They didn't bring him back. They got rid of him. How about the Rangers? They won the World Series with the dude, and they didn't bring him back. He's okay. He's a Diamondback. Good luck to him. He got a one-year deal. I'm more ticked off at Jed that this is the bullpen he ran out. I'm not expecting you to spend with a luxury tax payment. Jordan Montgomery would have cost you $33 million. Okay, I think that's obscene for Jordan Montgomery. I wouldn't have done it. But I certainly wouldn't have gone into this season with this bullpen, because this bullpen is not good. You tell me the one guy on that bullpen, you go, wow, it's September 24th. We're trying to battle here to win the division, and they got two men on and one out, the Brewers. Who's the one dude? Mark Leiter?
No.
If Mark Leiter is the answer to the question, wow, I'm shocked. He's okay. He's fine. He's pitched well. I don't mind him in my bullpen, but I can't close with this guy. He does not have the testicular fortitude to be a closer. I certainly don't have anyone else. Neris, Almonte, Smiley, please.
I'll give you one name, and I'm not sure if he's got the makeup to be a closer, but we saw flashes of him last year. We saw flashes of him a couple over the weekend when he pitched to win. Keegan Thompson looks like he belongs at that level. I'm not saying he's a closer, but I think he might be a bright spot in the bullpen, Cap.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Now he's had two scoreless appearances since he came back up.
Yep, that's it.
So
right.
He's got a long way to go to prove to me that he's that guy. I'm certainly willing to give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we did not go out and get some type of a veteran pitcher, I mean, Aroldis Chapman, for crying out loud, is pitching for who, the Pirates?
I mean,
you can't tell me that they put enough into their bullpen. And last year, that team should have been in the playoffs.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Should have been in the playoffs. And Jed left him short and said, it's on me, not on Rossi. I left him a little short in the bullpen. Well, those who fail to recognize history are doomed to repeat it. And that's what we're watching.
Mm-hmm. We're also watching Nico Horner's bat come to life. No, it was, I mean, he's too good to be hitting where he was, right? The average or the lack of. But he certainly has figured it out. Cap, now that he seems to have offensively turned things around, I mean, there's really nobody else on that roster that you're well, maybe Bellinger. He might be the one that you know that there's more there, and you know that it's coming. But for the most part, the offense has been good.
Too.
Yeah,
he's got to be better offensively. You know, last night, eighth inning.
Huge spot.
Nico Horner gets a triple, and you got Oh, my two highest paid guys are coming to the plate. Swanson and Bellinger. Strikeout, strikeout. Mm-hmm. See you later. Thanks for coming. I mean, I get it. It's one game out of 162. But Dansby's got to be better defensively. I don't know what the deal is going on with him, with his defense, but it looks like garbage. And then we haven't seen Bellinger really be Bellinger offensively. So they got to get this turned around because they're 10-7, and I know that's a decent record. They blew an 8-0 lead. Yep. They blew last night's game because the bullpen fell apart. Well, all of a sudden, now you're 12-5. And there's another game or two in there. They were right there to win. The first game against the Rangers, you couldn't get the job done with the bullpen late. I mean, there's no reason this team doesn't have 12, 13 wins.
It's wild. And this team has definitely, I think, the best roster, 1 through 26 in the division. But I think this division's going to be much more difficult. Cappy, I asked you kind of a week ago about the teams that came off to surprising starts here. What's the number? What's it going to take to win the National League Central this year? And maybe how different than it was than when we had this conversation back in March?
I'm guessing 88 gets you in.
Yeah, that's your number, Trent.
That's what I had.
Yep.
That's probably where it is. I had the Cubs at the start of the year. I picked them 87 wins. And so a tweak here, a tweak there, decent health here or there. Now you're without Suzuki for a month.
Mm-hmm.
You get Tyone back on Thursday. The Cubs haven't announced it, but I'm hearing that's a done deal. He'll start Thursday night against the Miami Marlins. So you're close. You're right there. There's no reason. No reason. I talked to a former major league manager yesterday who's doing TV stuff now, and I said, what do you think of the Cubs? He said, I haven't watched every game, but I've seen a good amount of them. There's no reason that team doesn't win that division. No reason. So they get better figure it out quick.
Ben Brown looks as though he's figured out what it's going to take to pitch at this level. You buying stock in Ben Brown as a starter for the Cubs, Cappy?
100%. 100%. And, you know, I keep hearing somebody said, oh, well, they definitely, the Cubs, they need to get Tyone back in and Steele in, and then they'll put Ben Brown back in the bullpen or send him back down for more season. I'm like, what? Ben Brown? No. Ben Brown, in my world, is going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first game, he had a rough outing. The second inning, he was out there. He's making his major league debut. Since that point, Ben Brown has been outstanding. And the other night, tremendous against a really quality opponent on the road. So, yeah, for me, Ben Brown, you are locked into the rotation, and I'm going to watch you develop and then hopefully get Cade Horton here sooner rather than later, who had another good outing yesterday.
Bulls tonight, they get the Hawks. It'll be a late tip-off in Chi-Town. 8:40 probably by the time that thing actually gets tipped up into the air. I like the Bulls tonight. Tell me why I'm wrong.
So I'm with you, but like there's a handicapper on our station called the Fat Jack, and he's about as good as I've seen.
Okay.
The Fat Jack.
Yeah.
And the Fat Jack sent me a text, hey, I'm on the Atlanta Hawks +3.5 and money line. Then my buddy, who I've always thought he's like the guru, the Philly Godfather, he texts me, hey, man, I'm on the Hawks plus the points and the money line. I'm like, I'm on the Bulls, and I'm going to just trust myself, because what really bothers me as a sports handicapper is when I let other people,
right.
unless they have a tie to a team, not work for a team, but they cover a team, and they go, dude, you don't know this. That guy's injured. You should go the other way. Okay, that's a different story. But these handicappers, I let them influence me when I know my own team better. I think the Bulls win tonight, and they cover the number.
Oof, that would work. Football-wise, Cap, of course, this time next week when we speak with you, we'll be on the cusp of round number one, where the Bears have two picks. We know what they're doing with the first one. What's the buzz surrounding number nine? Are they fielding offers, Cap?
So I had Albert Breer on today, and Albert, who I think he's as tapped in as anybody. Albert said that the Bears are making calls about moving up.
What?
Potentially to grab Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers, but they're also fielding calls about trading down. Now, if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, and Arizona trades out of 4, He thinks the Bears could be in play to trade with the Chargers for pick 5 and get Marvin Harrison.
Wow.
But he said, if you're trying to trade to 4, not going to happen, because he's spoken with teams who have talked with Monty Ossenfort, the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, and they said, he's not just trying to extort you for what he wants for pick 4. He literally has you at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. He said it's staggering what he's asking for, and Poles is not going to do that. So we'll see where he goes. We'll see. Does J.J. McCarthy go 4? Does he slide up there? Michael Penix was at dinner with the Patriots 2 nights ago at New England. Is Michael Penix all of a sudden, because a lot of people have really, really watched him rocket up draft boards because his health has been, I guess they've answered a lot of the questions, mm-hmm. and he's a good player and a good guy. If Michael Penix sneaks up there, could we have 5 quarterbacks gone before pick 9? If that happens, I'm not moving anywhere. I'm not trading up. I'm just going to get one of my guys.
Because they will be there if indeed it falls that way. No doubt about it. Cap, yeah. Great stuff as always. I knew it would be a good segment today after I watched your recap where you were fired up when the Cubbies let one get away. What's the matchup today, Cap? Man. Who starts today? Do you know?
Yeah, it's Jordan Wicks.
Oh, good. Okay. Well,
Jordan Wicks against some guy named Fott.
Yeah, he's a good player. And then they're back.
Well in the playoffs.
He did. And then they're back home for the Fish, who come into town for the weekend.
Yeah, we get Jameis and Tyone back.
Nice. We'll see. Good stuff. Talk to you next week, Capper. Thank you, buddy.
Have a great day. Play against the White Sox.
Yeah, that's a given. Yes. Free square. Yeah. See you, buddy. Yeah, take care. David Kaplan, as we check in with our buddy from Chicago, Centurion Stone of Iowa, sponsors Cappy. Centurion Stone of Iowa, they offer manufactured stone, natural stone, inside project, outdoor project. Make sure that Centurion Stone of Iowa, if you need any stone, brick, brick, stone, any of those type of materials, Centurion Stone of Iowa, 5525 Northeast 22nd Street. That's where the showroom is, and they've got Saturday morning hours for those of us who work 9 to 5 or can't get there during their regular hours. Saturday morning, they open from 8 a.m. until noon. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Zion Williamson out Friday night. That's a blow. That is not good. All right, we'll take a time out, come back. We will finish with Trent's plays of the day. Sir, you going with the fat man? What was his name, Cappy's buddy? The fat man?
Yeah, yeah. I'm on the other side. I'm with
Cap. You like the Bulls, too?
I like the Bulls.
And the Philly Godfather and the fat man are on the...
Fat Jack
are on the Hawks tonight. Trent's plays, they're next. Circus Sports sponsors, Miller & Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Final couple of minutes, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Murph and Andy coming up at the top of the hour. Jamie Pollard is going to join the program today. The Drive, Heather and Sean from 3 until 6. Trent's going to make some plays. Both NBA games, one NBA game.
Got both of them in here. Going to take the Heat plus the 5.5. Embiid up and down, inconsistent, left the last game. Just don't love it. It's Miami in the playoffs.
Yeah, Miami's good in the playoffs.
We'll see if they can flip the switch. We'll take Miami plus the 5.5. Give me the Bulls, as mentioned, minus the 3. I'll lay it tonight with Chicago.
You're going against Fat Jack.
I know. It's a
the
bad choice.
The Philly Godfather's also on the side of the Hawks.
We'll see who's right. Me and Cappy are Fat Jack and Philly Godfather. Give me the Rays tonight, minus 116. The Yankees against your Blue Jays plus 105. The free square with Kansas City minus 176.
And now, is there two?
There are, yes. Yeah. Game one. This is with Singer. Okay. And got the Orioles out to a 1-0 lead against my godforsaken Twins. They suck.
Mm.
They can't hit.
Well, they're playing a pretty good team.
They've been playing bad teams, too. It hasn't gone well.
That's going to do it for us. Murph and Andy, they're next. 1 until 3, The Drive with Heather and Sean. 3 until 6, The Morning Rush will start our local programming, as always, at 6 a.m. We are Miller and Condon. We're here from 11 to 1 on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.